This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bihudahu wa ba'd. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all and bless every single one of us and grant us goodness and ease. May Allah forgive us on this beautiful eve within the month of Ramadan. My brothers and sisters, 1434 years back, this particular night, the Battle of Badr took place, the 17th of Ramadan. It's important for us to draw lesson from this, for us to understand that against all odds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted those who had solid belief, victory. Had it not been for that, we would not have been seated here today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all those who have struggled and strove from the very beginning through the generations, those we know, those whom we don't know, in such a way that today the beautiful deen and religion has come to us and we are seated here miles away from Makkatul Mukarramah, still trying our best to follow in the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May we too be from amongst those who learn, put into practice and pass the torch on. My brothers and sisters, it is not good enough for us to dilly-dally, for us to think for a moment that we are fine if we were not to learn the deen and not to pass it on. Wallahi, it is our duty. Pass it on to your children, pass it on to whomsoever you can. And the way to do that primarily is to learn it, to be serious about it, to put it into practice, and to understand that ultimately our aim is Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. Yesterday I ended off by speaking about a certain question, and the question was, why is it that when it comes to the stories of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were these verses revealed in Makkatul Mukarramah? Like I said, if you hear the name of a Nabi, of a Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a surah, you can close your eyes and say that this surah was revealed in Makkah. Subhanallah. The chances are you will most likely be correct in all cases. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. So why is it that these stories came about in Makkatul Mukarramah? In Medina Munawwara, there were Jewish people, people of the book, those who knew the stories of the past. In Makkatul Mukarramah, they were not there. They did not know the stories of the past. There was no chance of anyone saying, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he heard the stories from those people and he repeated them. No. In fact, they came in the purest of accuracy, in the highest level of accuracy, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verses. And the reason why, you find a lot of the times they were verses that came clustered together, such as Surah Yusuf and various other stories of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was because it was to draw lesson for those who were living from those who had lived before. If I want a lesson right now and I want to know how best I should be doing things, I need to learn the easy way. What is the easy way? Look at those who did it in the past, see how they ended up, and inshallah you will be able to have an idea where exactly you will end up if you do the same. So you may know how to modify, how to change, what to do, what not to do. When it comes to the examples of you and I, when we are parents, we like to tell our children what to do. We want them to learn from our mistakes. Sadly, today's children want to make their own mistakes. We know that. Today's children want to make their own mistakes. Still, it is a way of learning. But when it comes to the deen, you only have one chance, which means you're only going to live once, and you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that life. And you need to make sure that you have eradicated the risks involved when it comes to worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You worship Him and Him alone, and you follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in Surah Yusuf, after the beautiful story, verse number 111 of Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what He expects from us when it comes to these stories.
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبَرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى.
Amazing. Allah says, indeed, In these stories, there are lessons for those with sound intellect. If you are sharp and intelligent, you will want to learn from the stories of those before. If, for example, firewood with a little bit of fuel and some matches happened to create a huge inferno 100 years ago, do you think it's not going to create the inferno today? What a fool! We need to know that those three do not really go together without combustion. But that is a lesson we learn because we watched, we saw, we know what has happened. And therefore we take heed. The same applies if shirk and sin and transgression resulted in the punishment of Allah in the past. What makes us think that it's not going to come to us? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify us. May He make us from those who learn a lesson. Powerful, powerful words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, these are not tales that are created. It's not just a story that you should be reading at bedtime. More than the story is the lesson. Yes, it will be a beautiful story to relate to your children. But remember, even from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, there are thousands of lessons that we would be extracting and learning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and bless us all. We move on to the next surah, Surah Ar-Ra'd, named after the thunder. We need to know, my brothers and sisters, that in this life, the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have around us, they are all part and parcel of the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wind is part of the army of Allah. The rain, the mountains, the earth, anything and everything. Everything obeys the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only mankind and jinnkind. We find that they don't want to obey the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the sun obeys the instruction of Allah such that we can tell you per nanosecond exactly when it's going to set and when it's going to rise. And this has been happening since time began. Not once did the sun say, today I think I'm going to sleep for Salatul Fajr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. But man who is so sophisticated, we tend to find ourselves dilly-dallying. When it comes to the crescent, we have the same. When it comes to the other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we watch them. We are in awe. Really, they should be showing us the grandeur of the Creator Himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand. So sometimes Allah uses these in order to inflict some punishment upon people. But sometimes the same thing may be a means of someone's entry into Jannah and another person's entry into hellfire. Let me give you an example. We had a tsunami some time back in Far East Asia. We had landslides, we had volcanoes, we've heard of earthquakes, we've heard of so much happening, rattling the earth, haven't we? From among those who perished, there were those who perished while transgressing, while perhaps earning the wrath of Allah, while involved in sin. For them, it is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps it was a punishment for them. But what about those who died in the condition of sujood and prayer? Those who died while reciting the Quran, while praising Allah, while in the obedience of Allah. Those who were really good people who also passed away or who also were perished in that. For them, it was a means of martyrdom. They entered paradise. But it was the same occurrence. Let's understand this. Then there are some who did not die. But after the incident, they turned very far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They actually became people who became angry with Allah. They turned away from the deen. They turned away from Allah. For them too, it was a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the condition of the heart is what will determine whether it was a punishment or actually a means of peace and comfort and a gift of Allah. There are some who used to transgress. They used to sin against Allah. When the calamity struck, they survived, but they became better people. Wasn't that the best gift they could have had? They became close to Allah. They started softening when it came to their hearts. They became people who loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't miss one salah after that. For them, definitely it was a means, a real means of closeness, achieving closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's never use a blanket statement to say this was the punishment. Who are you? Did Allah inform you that this is my punishment? No, not at all. It is punishment for some and it is a mercy for some. Let's hope the day it strikes us, it is never a means of punishment. In fact, let's make dua it does not strike us. Ameen. So, verse number 13 of Surah Ar-Ra'd, there is a narration that is made mention of in most of the books of tafsir, of a man. Some of the narrations make mention of a name, we won't say a name, but at the same time they say there was someone who came and debated and argued with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said some nasty things, and as he was debating he left, and after a while the thunderbolt came and struck him and he was gone and perished. It's possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the thunder and the lightning in order to strike people as well whom He wants to punish. That is also possible. And this is why Allah makes mention of how the thunder is actually declaring the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ. And indeed the thunder declares the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angels too, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us such fear of His that makes us love Him, and such hope in Him that makes us obey His instruction. Ameen. Remember these creatures of Allah, we see them around us, we see the atmosphere. These are worshippers of Allah. They worship Allah. It's just that we don't realize, recognize, or hear or understand. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Indeed, there is nothing at all in the creation of Allah except that it declares the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only that you do not comprehend the way it is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The trees and the stones, the oceans and the skies, the moons and the stars, whatever else it is, praises Allah. What about you, O man? How often do you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us strength. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَيُرْسِلُ الصَّوَاعِقَ فَيُصِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُمْ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي اللَّهِ.
It is Allah who sends down the thunderbolt in order for it to strike whomsoever Allah wishes while they are debating and arguing regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although it may have been revealed for a specific person, but the lesson is it is a general lesson for us all, that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may use any one of His army in order to strike whomsoever He wishes to strike. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Then there is a narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu in Tafsir al-Tabari, which makes mention of how the kuffar of Quraysh, the disbelievers of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked him for some absurd things. They told him, if you want us to believe that what you are reciting is correct and it is powerful, then we want you to bring the souls of our forefathers for us to be able to communicate with our forefathers. We want to talk to them. Bring to us our forefathers. And we want you to do something else. You see the mountains of Mecca, there are so many. We want you to remove them, move them, space them out, create a little bit of flat land so that we can cultivate here. That's what we want you to do. If you do that, we will believe the Quran that you have come with is the truth. And what else we want you to divide this land by means of the wind or however you'd like to do it. But we want you to divide it miraculously similar to Sulaiman. As you have said, Sulaiman, may peace be upon him, used to do that. So they said, we want you to do this. Then we will believe this recitation is actually the powerful recitation. It's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah responds subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse number 31 of Surah Ar-Ra'd, the verses were revealed.
وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى بَلْ لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا.
Had there been any recitation that would have been able to move the mountains, or that would have been able to separate the land, or to bring forth the dead in order for them to be spoken to, it would have been this Quran. But the instruction is for Allah. He chooses what He wants to do. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, what is the point of seeing something and then saying, okay, I believe? That is not called belief in the unseen. To believe in the unseen, when someone tells you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the Quran. This is the Quran. It's the word of Allah. And I say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indeed the final messenger of Allah. I'm bearing witness regarding the unseen. That is called iman. That is called faith and belief and conviction. But if you were to see something and then come to believe it only after you'd seen it, your test is actually passed. If Allah wants, He can show us all the signs and then it will be too late. This is why Allah says, we're not going to give you those signs. We know it's better for you to believe without us giving you exactly what you want. Because as we mentioned in the past, had these signs come about, Allah would not have given them respite. Allah would have destroyed them completely and immediately. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, and may He grant us firm belief and conviction. My brothers and sisters, when we go to Makkah al-Mukarramah, when we are told that Jibreel alayhi salam was here, don't we have this firm conviction? Indeed he was there. That is belief in Allah and His messengers and the Anbiya and all the angels and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us all and grant us Jannah in return. May He grant us forgiveness as well. Ameen. Then they made mention of something else. They wanted to pick on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just because they did not want to listen to the message. So according to Ibn Abi Hatim, he says, and this is the tafsir of Mujahid, he says, Quraysh, they accused Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, if you were really a prophet, that would have been your full-time job. You wouldn't have had time to marry, to have children, to spend time doing this and doing that. Why is it that we find you marrying women? For example, he was married to Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha at the time. And why is it that you have children and you are occupied with them and so on? You should be full-time dedicated. This is your job, nothing else. Isn't it a familiar statement? Sometimes we see ulama driving a beautiful vehicle for us. Hey, he's supposed to be an imam in the masjid. He's supposed to be driving a Corolla. Allahu Akbar. May Allah forgive us. Today they drive S-classes as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Subhanallah. It doesn't mean someone calls you towards goodness. They are pious, they are good. So they're not allowed to have family, and they're not allowed to have money and wealth. They're not allowed to own this and that. No. You need to understand it's Allah's fadl, Allah's virtue. People are human beings. For as long as He didn't pinch your money, what are you worried about? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. This was the disease of the people from the very beginning. When they see someone who is trying to remind them of Allah, they say this person should be divorced from the world. That's wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May He grant us sustenance that will be, inshallah, a means of our entry into Jannah. Ameen. MashaAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, verse number 38 of Surah Ar-Ra'd. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً وَمَا كَانَ لِرَسُولٍ أَن يَأْتِيَ بِآيَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, and we have sent messengers before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They've had family, they've had offspring, they've had descendants. It's not just you. They have picked on those before you as well. Subhanallah. Look at the others. They were messengers. So this is actually comforting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is comforting to know that the other messengers also had children. They also had family members. It's not just me. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is not up to a messenger to come with signs on his own. But these signs are given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us serve the deen and at the same time earn our dunya in a way that we can have the best of both. Ameen. Then we have Surah Al-Hijr, the next surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we take a look at the Quran, each time He speaks of the punishment, guess what He does? He knows that people might become a little bit despondent, where you're hearing of the wrath, you're hearing of punishment, you're hearing of Jahannam, you're hearing of the burning blaze, you're hearing of how people will be cast into hellfire. And sometimes some people start losing hope and they say, oh no, you know, if this is the case, I'm probably going to be burning in Jahannam forever. And Allah knows that people think this way. So there is always a balance in the Quran. Immediately after speaking about hellfire, you will always find one verse, a few verses balancing it, speaking about heaven, speaking about Jannah, making you smile once again. This is Allah, this is the wisdom. And this is why when it comes to reminding people, don't always doom people. Sometimes you have a person who speaks, and every time he speaks to remind people, he's just dooming them. So by the time you end up, you know, in the lecture, you already start feeling the heat of the fire of Jahannam behind you. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We need to balance it. We need to make sure that we speak about Jahannam. Yes, it is the wrath of Allah. But give people hope, because it is through hope that they will come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People have sinned. People have done wrong. They know they've done wrong. Teach them how to come back to Allah. Teach them how to earn the pleasure of Allah, the mercy of Allah. Give them hope that look, Jannah and paradise is just a little stone throw away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. This balance is important, because when you have too much of hope, people begin to sin thinking, well, Allah is going to forgive me. And when you have too much of fear, you think, as it is, I'm in Jahannam, I'm already in hell, let me just end off doing what I want. So this is why this balance is extremely important. Hadith of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, reported in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, also in al-Mustadrak of Imam Hakim. He says, Salman al-Farisi, when he heard the verse, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْسُومٌ Verse number 44 of Surah Al-Hijr, it says, indeed, Jahannam, hellfire, is the promised place for all of them. It has seven doors, and each door already has an apportioned number of people who will enter through it. He says, I felt so scared. I was so worried. I felt quite despondent. My heart was literally breaking. And then verses were revealed. The next verse, 45. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ As for the righteous, they will be in the gardens. They will be in gardens that have in them gushing springs. And then there is a description of the gardens of paradise. Look at the smile. Once again, the hope was kindled in the heart of this Sahabi, and I'm sure it happens to us all. So there are powerful lessons to be learned. Even when it comes to our own children, if we continue scolding, admonishing, and we never ever praise, we never acknowledge, then definitely that will not be a balanced upbringing. But we need to praise, we need to acknowledge, we need to give them a pat on the back when they've done something correct. And then when they've done something wrong, there comes a gentle reminder, even if it is just a movement of the eye, a little expression, and they become conscious of the fact that they've made a mistake. That's all we need to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. I see some beat up their children so thoroughly that the children begin to hate the deen. They begin to hate their parents. They begin not to understand their purpose in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to bring up our children in the best possible way. Ameen. Then we have the issue of paradise. Do you know, today in this world, we may have a few differences. Some of us might not like each other for some reason, because shaitan is bad. We always say people are brilliant. Shaitan is bad. So shaitan makes us hate one another, makes us not want to look at one another, and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So sometimes if you were told, if you were told, just hypothetically, that for you is paradise on condition that the biggest enemy you had in this world is going to be your neighbor in heaven. May Allah forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Do you know what will happen? You've got to close your eyes and say, well, that's very cheap. It's a bargain. Really, I'll take it. All the enemies can be my neighbors. No problem. When you get to Jannah, if you get to Jannah, nobody's going to be your enemy in Jannah. The hearts will be pure. The mind will be of the highest level. There will be absolute perfection. There will be no form of resentment in the heart whatsoever. Not at all. And this is why the general feeling sometimes when we speak to married people and we tell them, in paradise, you're going to be with your spouse. And you're busy trying to smile and they're frowning. And you're wondering, what's going on here? And they're thinking, but I struggled my whole life. And you're still telling me I'm going to be in paradise with the same spouse. But you don't know, they will be absolutely perfect. They look how you want them to look. They think how you want them to think. They do what you want them to do. Subhanallah, not even remote control. It's more mind control. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help. That is Jannah. That is paradise. In paradise, you get what you wish for, subhanAllah. Allah says, no resentment in the heart. You will never have resentment. So it is reported that the pre-Islamic era, there were some tribal issues between Banu Taym, Banu Adi, Banu Hashim. Some of these little tribes, they had a few little issues. Later on, the people accepted Islam. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. In paradise, we would have removed from their hearts or their chests any resentment for one another. There will be brothers reclining on beddings facing one another with so much of love. No matter who you are, this reclining, the fact is, get to paradise. That's what I always tell people. Stop debating about what you're going to get there. First get there. Then you see, you will have absolutely everything. So some of the narrations make mention of these people reclining. Who will they be? They will be, according to the narration of Tabari, Ibn Abi Hatim makes mention of it, Abu Bakr, Umar and Ali radiallahu anhum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously the verse extends to us all to say, as brothers by the will of Allah, we will be in Jannah and we will be reclining with no resentment, no hatred in your heart, absolute love, so much of goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with Jannah. Then in Tabarani, there is a narration of Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once passed a group of his companions. He looked at them and they were busy laughing quite loudly. Now you know, with us, we need to know something. As Muslimin, you are allowed to laugh, definitely. But there are limits to it. You don't laugh so much that you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, people sometimes laugh to the degree that their belly begins to move. The others are not laughing at the joke. They're laughing at the way you're laughing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. It happens. And we laugh so much that we don't know what has happened. And we continue laughing. And every time we think of it, we laugh. The life is not all a joke. We are allowed to joke. We are allowed to enjoy a little bit of some of the lighter moments, perhaps some laughter and so on. But we need to make sure we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records absolutely everything. We are going to return to Allah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded them. He looks at them and he says, Mali arakum tadhakun. You know, what is it? I'm seeing you are laughing, meaning laughing to this extent. So they were silent for a while. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went off, and a little while later Jibreel alayhi salam came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and revealed a verse to him. And he went back and recited the verse to them. What was this verse? When he admonished them, when he reminded them, what happened is they became silent for a while, and then subhanAllah, the noise started once again. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned and told them that Jibreel alayhi salam has come to me and given me a verse to tell you the following. Verse number 49 of Surah Al-Hijr. Nabbi ibadi anni ana al-ghafur ar-rahim. وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمِ. Give good news to my worshippers. Give them news that indeed I am the most forgiving, most merciful. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am most forgiving, most merciful. And my punishment is also extremely painful. Subhanallah. Look at the balance. Whatever you do, strike a balance. You want to laugh, you need to cry as well. You want to enjoy, you need to make sure you endure as well. You will have good days, you will have days that may not be so good. You will have a day of profit, you will have another of loss. You will gain something, you might lose something. That is Allah, that is the plan. None of us can say everything is just moving perfect in one direction. Perfection is only when we have plugged in with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. When we are happy with His decree and His choice for us. Beautiful verse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us more conscious of the fact that He is Ghafurur Rahim, most forgiving, most merciful. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, indeed You are most forgiving. You love to forgive. So forgive us. That is a powerful dua which is meant to be made even during the eves in the month of Ramadan. Then we have verse number 95 of the same surah, and I will end with this verse, Surah Al-Hijr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had so many people who harmed him, some in Makkah, through defecation on his back. There was a woman in the gullies of Mecca, an elderly lady who used to throw dirt, and that which we would consider the bin was emptied, na'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly. That is blasphemous. That is terrible. That is unacceptable. Then there were others who used to mock and laugh. When he used to walk by, they used to nudge each other and say, this is the man who claims that Jibreel comes to him. This is the man who claims that revelation comes to him from heaven. He used to walk away. No response. Why reply to these fools? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. May He grant us a lesson from this. Don't. These are haters, literally. Haters meaning they have nothing better to do than to hate. They are not looking at the core. They're not looking at reality. They just have a grudge in their hearts. They are trying to vent it. They don't like you, come what may. That's it. So they're just picking on you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this quality. So with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to say things. They used to utter hurtful words. They used to make a mockery. Astaghfirullah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses comforting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him something very, very powerful. We need it. Do you know why we need to hear this? Today, 1400 odd years later, people are creating videos to try and degrade Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are creating cartoons to try and rile up the Muslimin. They are creating cartoons in order to try and degrade Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you really think they will succeed to degrade the undegradable? Subhanallah. Every time they've tried something, wallahi, it is the plan of Allah that it has the opposite effect. Every single time, without fail. There is not once that they tried something that it did not have the opposite effect. More and more people turned towards Allah, and more people fell in love with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslims became stronger, the non-Muslims became Muslims, and those who were enemies realized that this man is definitely a blessed human being. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is a hadith mentioned by At-Tabarani as well as in Al-Bazzar, by Al-Bazzar, hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says, when they used to laugh, scoff, and make a mockery of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam come to him with the following verse, number 95 of Surah Al-Hijr.
إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ.
We are sufficient for you against those who are mocking. We have protected you. Your reputation is intact. No matter how much they mock, they will not be able to harm your reputation. Chapter closed. So whatever they do is actually against them, not against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at those people of Makkah and ask yourself, at that time there were very few Muslims. They mocked, they laughed, they jeered. Today there are 2 billion Muslims on the globe. Allahu Akbar. 2 billion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Each one of them saying, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, and I bear witness that Muhammad, may peace be upon him, is indeed the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his final messenger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to react in the correct way, in the most sane way, when people try to blemish the image of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is a non-blemishable image. It is us, in fact, who sometimes make a fool of ourselves. The way we react sometimes is not the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have reacted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sense, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.